The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome back to another episode of Hot Takes. Formerly Hot Take Tuesday, but it falls on Friday this week. Trade deadline heating up. Is today? I thought today was Thursday.
It is. You said Friday.
Well, for the Apple podcast crowd, it'll be.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Get it together, Jeremy.
Yeah, all right.
All right. And so, yeah, Josh Naylor has gone from the Arizona Diamondbacks to the Seattle Mariners. Mariners always needing upgrades, especially offensively. They always seem to have one of the best pitching staffs, but can never get it together as far as scoring runs. So. Wasn't a great fit for the Red Sox, in my opinion, just because his numbers against lefties, not that good. Probably would have just been another member of Alex Cora's platoon dynasty. So, off the board.
Yeah, I mean, it only cost the 13th and 16th prospect in their system, in Seattle's system, which seemed light to me. I also don't think Naylor's a fit. You're talking about the splits. I think the Sox want to be a little bit more athletic than Naylor is. So I agree. It's not a player I necessarily wanted. It's just I was kind of hoping the Red Sox would be first to the market and go get the guys they want. And so the market's now obviously going to start here, and we'll see how aggressive they are. I think the closer we get to the trading deadline, my excitement level is going to drop significantly.
Well, that seems to be the theme amongst many of the hot takes, which we'll get to. I'm going to open with my own real quick. I think Hulk Hogan was a toxic personality behind the scenes, undercut a lot of guys' careers, and overrated as hell in the ring. He was great on the microphone. It worked great from 1984 to 1991. Then the crowd started booing him. Watch his 1991 Survivor Series match with The Undertaker. And even though The Undertaker was supposed to be a bad guy, the crowd was cheering him. And that was essentially the end of Hulkamania, aside from a quick stint in 1993, which he screwed Bret Hart, by the way. That's the source of my anger. He was supposed to drop the title to Bret Hart at 93 SummerSlam. And then, yeah. And then if you want to see how badly political he was behind the scenes, not like politics, but wrestling politics, look up 97 Starcade when he manipulated the WCW brass into not giving Sting the title like originally planned. So anyway.
Well, that's a tough act to follow because I didn't follow the specific Hulkamanias and all that. To me, he was just a cool character. He was Thunderlips and Rocky III. I'm a huge fan of the Rocky series. I thought that scene that he's in was just awesome. I went back and watched it today. He also came back to light about, what was it, 10 years ago when he sued Gawker and kind of bankrupt that company, just a miscellaneous fact. So hate to see people die young. You know, he had cardiac arrest, so, he was still doing a beer company and a new wrestling venture. So he kind of, just sad, a little too young, but I can't speak on the wrestling, Terry.
Yeah, apparently he had I don't know if it was a major neck surgery in May, but it looks like he might not have recovered from that and faced some complications and then ultimately passed away today. There were rumors a month ago he was on his deathbed, but those did not end up being true. So, yeah, a lot of the Mount Rushmore guys are gone now. So the Warrior's gone. Andre the Giant obviously has been gone for quite a while. Now Hulk Hogan. You know, you have the Attitude Era guys like The Rock and Stone Cold still, seemingly pretty healthy. But all of the original guys have moved on. All right, so let's get into some hot takes now. You got one from Randy Clemens.
Yeah, so at Boston Randy, who's a consistent viewer on the streams, so we appreciate that. The Red Sox will stand pat at the trade deadline. The best arms are coming off the market. They might make a minor deal or two, but they won't overpay for available players like Suarez, Olsen, O'Hearn, etc. Watch what the Yankees offer Arizona for Suarez. Now, I tend to agree with this take, and then I see the quotes from Breslow today on the radio, and he's talking about efficiency, and it's not efficient at the trade deadline. It's more efficient in the offseason, and I think it's worrisome. He's telling you, he's setting an expectation that they may not make a move, a big move. Commentary like that is for the nerds, in my opinion. I am a nerd, but as a baseball fan, I don't care about efficiency. I don't care about the fact that you can't operate under pressure with the deadline there and multiple deals happening. And if this deal goes through, we lose that prospect. So then we can't make, I don't care. This is your job. You've built a team that's contending. They're kind of barely hanging on currently, but all the young guys are up. We need to buy. So, Randy, I already agreed with it. I heard Breslow's comments today, and I'm almost convinced the deadline is going to be significantly underwhelming. People are going to start coming off the board, and we won't be a major player. So I like this take. I don't think they will do nothing. I think this might shape up to what happened last year, which is they went and got a rental left-handed pitcher in Paxton, who immediately broke down, a couple arms who really never did anything, and then Priester, who we at least kept through the offseason and then traded and, ring around the prospect. No real value came from last deadline at all. And based on Breslow's comments today, I would be shocked if he heel turns and goes and dumps a bunch of assets into a big name.
Just to piggyback off that, last night, 23 hours ago, there was a report from Jeff Passan of ESPN. Basically, the biggest rock star journalist there is, the Adam Schefter of MLB. He says the Red Sox aren't exactly poised to pull off a blockbuster similar to the one that pried Crochet out of Chicago in December of 2024. At this moment, the Red Sox are not inclined to engage in any large-scale deadline moves. So, yeah, so the pieces are all falling together, just kind of as Randy was speculating. And I think you're going to get, you know, a rehash of the 2024 July trade deadline, which was extremely underwhelming. You know, at this moment, you, at a minimum, you need to get a Kyle Schwarber type guy at the deadline. That's the lowest the bar should be set. If you want to set it high, you need to go get a controllable asset, someone you'll have for the next 3 to 4 years at least, with the abundance of surplus you have on this major league roster and in the farm. Guys that are blocked. Blaze Jordan, for instance, probably, I shouldn't say he won't see the light of day, but he shouldn't. I mean, if Breslow's doing his job. And it's frustrating. And I said recently, the only impact trade Breslow ever made was the Crochet deal. And it's not like it was this critical out of nowhere thing. He had the Fort Knox of farm systems to get that done. And he needs to make a critical trade here at the deadline. And I don't know if he has it in him. I don't know. Like, when was there another trade deadline where you didn't have the assets like you do now? Like, when I think I got that backwards. You've got tons of assets. When was there another trade deadline when you were more well suited to get that big deal done?
It's been so long, because one of the things that happened during the Dombrowski era is he burned through prospects to support the big league club. So it's a tough question, Terry. What do you think?
I mean, you didn't even...
Before the Dombrowski era.
Yeah. I mean, the last real big one was either Evaldi. If you want to go to 2018, you could go back as far as 2013, and that was Jake Peavy. Or you can go back to 2008 when you sold off Manny and then you got Jason Bay. I mean, those were the last three real big ones. And you got Chris in the stream here, and Chris, you know, I appreciate his participation, but he said Narvaez wasn't an impact trade. He goes, I think Breslow is trash, but come on now. Chris, you never even heard of Narvaez before the trade. Okay. So no, it wasn't an impact trade. Well, it was a trade that worked out very well, that kind of came out of nowhere, but no major assets. He couldn't tell me in 2 seconds right now who we gave up. I can tell you. And, you know, it's no one who's ever seen the light of day.
The Narvaez and the Crochet trade also came with no pressure on Breslow in the offseason. This is a different scenario. And Breslow's admitted that. And there's another quote, Terry, to the one that you read about efficiency versus the offseason. It's not efficient now and whatever. But this is what allows you to go and compete when you have an incomplete roster. Teams that are not perfect, and most of the teams aren't, go and say, hey, we're in the race. We have a hole at first base. We have some issues, at least backup catcher, you know, and you go plug the holes to try to make your roster more complete. Marcelo Mayer's going on the DL today, so we're getting Hamilton back. That means we might, depending on the severity of the injury, we have an issue with in second base now. the expectation from the fan base should be that he goes and spends assets and plugs those holes. And it's he's saying he's not going to do it. I don't know how you wouldn't be extremely frustrated by that.
I am frustrated. You know, this team deserves an upgrade. And they have shown they can get hot and they can go on runs. And I just think we have an executive in that front office who just continually fails to execute. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where else you can go with that. It's the same. It's going to be the same trade deadline. We'll probably sell a little bit. We'll probably buy. They're peeing down their legs. It's frustrating. Is Meyer definitely on?
I will say, yeah, Hamilton got pulled out of the lineup and was not in either game for the doubleheader okay. today. I think Chris Cotillo had that. So the thought is that Hamilton's coming to Boston and Meyer's going on the disabled list. I will say this for the don't trade Duran group. Breslow's comments over the last 24 hours, I think, make it a virtual guarantee that Duran's not going anywhere.
I would agree with that. You know, I just was surprised to see this earlier because I was just curious as to where we stood with doubles, because I was looking at potential fits for the roster to acquire, you know, and Duran leads the Red Sox in doubles. Isn't that nuts?
Well, I knew that, and I also he's got 10 triples, so
wow.
You know, I mean, those would probably be doubles under if he didn't have the speed that he had. So, you know, he's got 35 extra base hits that aren't home runs. So, I mean, he's having a sneaky decent year. He's just not hitting for average. And obviously he's not having the same impact that he had last year, but his OPS is still like 760, which is far above average, you know, and he's a positive impact on this team. You know, conversely, Abreu is, you know, hitting a bunch more home runs, but not as many extra base hits. So, you know.
All right. This hot take comes from Marco Pio. I don't know if that's his real name. Perhaps it is. And he comes from a country I've never heard of, if this is accurate. I don't think it is. I think it might be a... kind of a parody burner account or parody profile, but anyway, Marco says, I just lost it. He basically says the Red Sox, here it is, will pocket the $250 million savings from the Devers trade. Now that's too layered to me. Now, number one, we haven't really talked about Devers a lot. And I think that 10 game winning streak kind of helped with that for a little while, but I'm going to say it right now. You know, we can argue all day long whether we should have or we shouldn't have, but that trade might end up being the biggest reason we miss the playoffs, not having that bat in the middle of the lineup anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you can argue that at least for 2025, Devers bat still being in this lineup would be a positive impact. It would have. I mean, how could anyone argue that? And to those that say, well, he didn't hit for a month in San Francisco. Well, he got uprooted and sent across the country to a different team, different program, different trainers, different training facilities, different equipment manager. I mean, Not to excuse his performance, because I'm not necessarily rooting for the player, but he was an absolute impact bat for the Red Sox, and there's nothing that would convince me that he would not have continued to be an impact bat if he stayed on the roster. So I agree with that take, Terry. I also agree with the hot take. John Henry's not going to spend. I think Breslow's comments that we just highlighted are probably a byproduct of John Henry saying you don't have any authority to really increase the the salaries. So I think they might have met, you know, met with Henry recently, Sam Kennedy, and they said, look, you have $5 million to play with, but we're not giving you any more. And in which case, then he comes out and says these things about how that there's some things being leaked, the thing about the efficiency, and it makes sense. I said this right away. This is just a pure money decision. We're using the convenient excuse that he might be some sort of a problem in the clubhouse to move the money. But this is John Henry maximizing his earnings from his portfolio with this asset, which happens to be our favorite baseball team.
I agree with you on the money aspect of things, but I don't think John Henry is saying, I don't think he's going to Breslow and saying, under no circumstances can you go get Eugenio Suarez. I don't think those type of moves are being blocked by John Henry. We could go get a Charlie Morton type guy from the Orioles.
No.
I'm not saying I want that, but I'm not saying John Henry is blocking it. You know, I mean, he's owed the last 2 months of whatever his deal is.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. He's got, it's like, they gave him some budget, $5 million, $6 million, whatever it was. You go get, what is he, 42 now?
Charlie Morton? Yeah, 41, 42.
Yeah. 41-year-old Charlie Morton, who's got 1.1 left prorated over the last 2 months of the season. That's exactly what Breslow's going to do, because that's likely the budget.
He could. And getting back to the hot take here, nobody's really talking about Devers at the moment. You know, no one's rehashing the impact, but that will become a narrative, you know, as we go down the stretch here and as the season comes to a close. I don't see really a path forward, really, without a Devers type bat being re-added to the lineup. Additionally, Devers is hitting in the last 2 weeks. He's got his batting average back up to 283 with a 391 on base. He's walked 9 times in that span. Only hit a couple home runs. He does have a back injury. His first game at first base, he went 2-for-5. That was against the Braves. And he's had all 3 of his games against the Braves were multi-hit games. So like you kind of said, or we're alluding to, Devers is the type of guy, it takes him a minute to adjust. You know, we saw early in the season when he was still with us as a DH. I mean, he was 0 for whatever. He was drawing walks, but not hitting. And eventually he got really hot. And I think, you know, a similar thing is going on right now in San Francisco. You know, he had to adjust to the new team, the new coaching staff. And then behind the scenes, you know, he was quietly getting prepared to play first base, which he is now doing. So, you know, I think if Giants fans were looking back at the trade, wondering if it was a mistake, I think Rafi Devers is going to work out very well for them. And at least, you know, the short term, you know, the next few years. And
look, a player of that caliber, water finds its level. This is baseball. It's 162 games. The games go on for forever. Players get nicked. We often don't know what's going on. You could have something in the family life. I know if you watch the Netflix special, Abreu, I believe it was having some issues getting his wife here. And that stuff plays on players. Like, I don't care how good Devers is. He wasn't going to hit the whole way through the season at a standard 300 clip, you know, 4 home runs a month. Like, that's not how it works, guys. Devers is going to find his level. He's going to be fine, at least in the short term. I do have concerns about where he's going to be with the way he's taking care of himself. I did want to highlight one thing on this topic. This is from Nate Shod from YouTube. Honest question. You guys don't think right now Roman is a better hitter than Devers? Is this serious? Right? I mean, guys, can we settle down on Roman and let him be a 21-year-old kid learning at the big leagues? It's okay. That's where the team is, and he's up. He probably shouldn't be if the roster was balanced. His approach is elite, but he's a rookie. He's played, what, 30 games? And we're ready to say that we're ready to go on this Devers thing to say that Roman essentially replaces Devers. I mean, come on. And by the way, I think Roman could be a potential Hall of Fame caliber player. I'd like to see him hit for power in the big leagues, you know, consistently. But I mean, let's settle down on that.
Yeah. I mean, while Devers was going through that adjustment period, Anthony did happen to be hot. But if this is October 16th and it's game three of the ALCS, bases loaded, with two outs in the eighth inning, who do you want right now? Do you want Devers or do you want Anthony? I think you want Devers in that spot, but
I'll take Devers.
I would prefer to have them both, to be honest, but yeah, we'll see. All right. There's another one I wanted to get to. Oh, this is Johnny Fontaine. Wow. I read the take, but not his name initially. So, all right. And I think Johnny is with us. He is. There's like a brouhaha going on in the stream right now between a few of them. And I don't know.
Some of those arrows are aimed at us, Terry.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. A couple shots across the bow.
Randy was going after someone. I didn't know if that was us or maybe George. I don't know. But let's get to Johnny's take real quick, because it sounds like it could be ominous. Johnny says Buehler will be better than Giolito for the rest of the season. Now, if that means Buehler's just going to be really good, okay, fine. Giolito has not been good, and Buehler wasn't good until his last few starts. So why that sounds ominous to me is that the only two guys you love right now, based on momentum and trajectory, is Crochet and Brian Bayo. Oh, excuse me, just burped. That's the second time in a week I've done that. My energy drink, carbonation, whatever. And anyway, so Bayo, Giolito, those are the only two guys you trust at the moment. Giolito suddenly going backwards. Hopefully he resolves it. I think he will, but you know, it's hard to be sure of that. He hasn't had a load like this in a couple of years, so we'll see. Buehler went to some lab around the All-Star break, I think in Atlanta. I forget the name of it. And he kind of, I think it was more for analysis than anything. And it does seem to coincide with him turning things around. So we'll see if he can keep that up. But so you got Giolito, Buehler, and now you got Richard Fitz, because Tanner Houck, I don't think is going to be back this season. The Red Sox haven't said that, but it's starting to look kind of bleak.
Well, they shut him down. Yeah. So, I mean,
between getting ramped up and then coming back, pitching well enough to come back into the rotation, it just seems like a long shot to me at the moment. So basically, what Johnny's essentially saying here, or kind of alluding to, is you need a starting pitcher. And you and I both just agreed Charlie Morton isn't going to get that done. And I don't expect a Joe Ryan type guy. It's been quite a few years since that type of a pitcher has moved at the deadline. You had Verlander and Scherzer in their late 30s getting moved around. And I think baseball fans expected those would be more impactful moves than what they were, but you're just not seeing those types of trades. This is where we need Breslow to be one of the smartest executives in Major League Baseball. And I don't think that's the guy we have.
I mean, you're not going to get a disagreement from me. To me, Giolito and Buehler are kind of, I mean, their stuff's different, obviously, but they're kind of one and the same where they are in their careers. They're both in prove it years. Buehler obviously, won the World Series with the Dodgers last year. So Giolito's 6-game stretch there, if you're expecting that, I think you're overly optimistic. And not to say that he's going to be as bad as he's been these last two starts, five home runs and 9 innings pitched. you know, and now he's suffering from the first inning thing that the rest of the rotation's been through. I don't think he's going to go all the way south. I think he'll be fine in his next start. I, you know, obviously he's faced the Cubs and the Phillies, which are two of the better offenses in baseball, and not to make excuses for him, because that's not what I'm doing. But if you're going to hit a rough patch, you can't have it against those two teams. And, you know, I could see Buehler getting better and rising up to that third slot in the rotation. And if we were to make a playoff to pitch a play, start a playoff game, I could also see Giolito bouncing back and doing the same thing. You know, I also could see both of them kind of flaming out and, you know, not being great down the stretch. One of the reasons why we missed the playoffs. So what does that mean? It means if this team is going to compete for a playoff spot, or maybe not like the last wild card, but actually go into the playoffs with the hopes of competing towards advancing a round or two, there has to be a move for an impact arm that is expected to start a playoff game. And as we've stated over and over for quite some time, Breslow is not the guy to navigate the deadline. So I have, after today's comments, I have zero expectation that they're going to go get an impact arm. I think we're going to see the Paxton thing again. And by the way, if you go get 42-year-old Charlie Morton, I mean, it's almost the exact same thing, except one's Canadian and left-handed and the other one's right-handed. I mean, it's they're the same. They're at the end of their career. An injury will likely end the career. Like, it's ridiculous to even consider that that would be an option. And if they do it, I'll be furious. Absolutely furious.
Hard to disagree with that. CWL91 in the stream says, I heard the Padres are interested in Duran. Do you think a trade package, including him, would get Dylan Cease? The short answer is, yeah, I think maybe Duran and another piece would get you Dylan Cease, but I'm not interested in trading Jaron Duran for a rental. I'll put him in a bigger deal, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be for a starting pitcher, but it definitely does need to be for a controllable asset.
I have said this. I'll say it again. It's the same take. If you guys listen to everyone, you've heard this from me. I'm okay just trading Jaron Duran generally if it makes the big league 2025 Red Sox better. So it's going to take an impact coming back. This is not going to be Duran for prospects. That's absolute nonsensical. So if Duran gives us Cease and that allows Roman Anthony to get regular innings in the outfield and Abreu plays right and Rafael is in center and that's what makes us a better team and gets us into the playoffs, I'm all for it. You know, but Duran's an impact player. I know he's not having the year last year, but let's not use last year as his median. He excelled. He probably is going to be the best year of his career. He's still a good player. He's still having a positive impact on the Boston Red Sox. So if you're going to include him in a package, it better make this year's roster better, more complete.
Dylan Cease is would just be a rental. He's a free agent at the end of the year. Not having the greatest season. He's 3-10 right now with a 4.59 ERA, a whip. Relatively high at 1.30. I need a guy like Joe Ryan is controllable for two more years beyond this. And that's the package I would put Duran in. And it's going to cost you more than that. But that's 100%. What I would do. I'm not interested in Dylan Cease.
Likewise.
Let's see. Probably got time for one more. Just checking the stream right now. Nate Shod asks if Patrick Sandoval is coming back. I don't know where he's at, but it doesn't look like he's anywhere close to rehab games. Just going through. David Evans says FSG. Wally is. No, I'm not reading that one. AC says David Hamilton sucks. Sorry, this is not a hot take. Agreed on all of the above. Card Sox 84. Sox should sell Chapman and re-sign him in the offseason. That's essentially what the Yankees did in 2016. Sent him to the Cubs. Got a nice haul. Then signed him back anyway. And I guess what that makes me think here, and Nick the Voice has been all over it in his recent shows. If your mindset isn't to impact this team and make that run, just sell. Just sell. Get a decent haul for Chapman. You will. He's probably a top two or three closer right now in MLB. Maybe top one. I don't know. I don't know who's hot right now. But that's what I would do. I would sell. If you're not going to commit to this team, sell.
At least be transparent, right? You know, that'd be nice to tell us with honesty what the plan is instead of sending Sam Kennedy up there to lie directly to our faces like we're morons and believe it. I can't stand, just generally speaking, the sell and go re-sign. Like we just did that with Marchant and the Bruins, and he wound up loving Florida. And even though we offered him a contract, he had no interest in it. So that stuff just doesn't work. The Yankees, obviously, you know, that's the exception. They can kind of pay whatever they want. And, you know, if your intention is if whatever it's going to take, we'll get Chapman back next year, then fine. But that's not what this ownership is. If Chapman goes out and wins a World Series and pitches lights out, and all of a sudden he goes from 10 to 15 to 18, Henry ain't paying 18 for a 37-year-old closer. He's not doing it. So, you know, I just don't love that plan. Now, like Terry said, if you're not going to improve this club to go win, at least sell the pieces on expiring deals. If Bueller has any market, go get a couple prospects for him. Chapman's going to get you a haul. I agree with you there, Terry, especially for a team that thinks they have a chance to go win the whole thing, because he could be pitching in the ninth for a team like, you know, Philadelphia. So, you know, if we're not going to go all in and buy, then yeah, I mean, we're just going to let all these guys expire. We're going to miss the playoffs, go 81 and 81 again. And then Chapman goes for nothing and Bueller goes for nothing. And, you know, that would make no sense to me. And yet that's likely what they're going to do.
And I think when it happens, I think you're going to see a lot of the Red Sox writers really turn on this organization for essentially catfishing us for 2025, acting like it's going to be different. And in the end, it was the same. It was the same team.
BM Cookie just said, can we trade Sam Kennedy? BM, I would do literally anything, include a fly to Logan to drive him to the airport. I hate Sam Kennedy. He's here as long as Henry's alive, my friend.
But he has essentially put himself in the witness protection program. He's not the visible guy he was in the last few years. And I think even he knows and finally has the self-awareness that his words just fall on deaf ears. Nobody takes him seriously. And he knows he's coming off like a puppet. So I don't know. I think if this is the deadline, we've spent the whole show talking about how we think it's going to be. I don't think there's no reason to suggest that Breslau is going to figure it out going forward. He can't solve problems during the season. He can't find solutions. He chased one of the best bats we've had in the last decade and a half out of town. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to wrap on that. We'll be back tomorrow night. It'll be myself and Nick the Voice covering whatever did happen with that first game of the Dodgers series. So we'll be back for that. Everyone, enjoy your Friday. Take care.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.